Early next year, Cincinnati Public Schools will open a secure overnight parking lot for families living out of their cars. That's after the district's Project Connect homeless advocacy organization identified thousands of students last school year who lacked stable housing. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to talk about this safe sleep lot and family homelessness locally are Project Connect program manager Rebecca Beach, Bethany House Services CEO Peg Durkers, and Strategies to End Homelessness CEO Kevin Finn. Thank you all so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Rebecca, Project Connect is working to open this parking lot where families living in their cars can stay overnight. How many Cincinnati Public Schools families are living in their cars at any one time?
So we identify students over the course of a school year. And last school year, we identified 4,326 students who lacked stable housing. And these include a variety of living situations, but those living in what we kind of think of as the HUD definition of homelessness, so outside or in their cars or in an area not fit for human habitat, were 355 students. The majority of those students were living in vehicles.
Wow. And obviously, I mean, these weren't students who were necessarily doing that the entire school year, but kind of living in and out of their vehicles, depending on their housing situation.
Correct. Yep.
Yeah.
So once we identify a family, we serve them for the entire school year because we often see them become stabilized and then unstabilized again.
Yeah. When is this safe sleep lot scheduled to open, and what will it offer families in terms of security, restroom facilities, all those kinds of things?
So we're planning for the lot to open this spring. Our goal is March. There were two things that were really important to us. We went on a research trip to California to look at some of the safe sleep lots there because this is a common model in that part of the country. And so we kind of pulled something from each lot that we looked at. And so security was important for us because what we often hear from our families is that they have to move a lot throughout the night because they're scared. They don't feel safe. They can't sleep because they're staying up to watch their children. And so though we know sleeping in your car is not ideal, our hope is that if we have security, parents will feel a little bit safer and be able to get some sleep during the night. We will have a security guard there the entire time. The lot will be fenced in and secure. And it's very important to me that we have bathroom facilities because we also hear from parents that their kids often don't want to go to school because they haven't had the opportunity to shower and get ready for school. And so we want our families to be able to maintain some dignity and be able to access bathroom facilities and shower facilities. So those are some of the major things that we need in place in order to open up the lot.
What about even access to electricity? I'm thinking, you know, kids or parents might need to charge their cell phones. They don't necessarily want to run their cars all night to use their car batteries or whatever.
Yes. So one of our goals with the structure is that we do have cell phone charging stations. And one of the reasons for that is that once our parents do get a spot in shelter through the CAP line, we often can't reach them because they don't have minutes on their phone or their battery is dead, and they can only hold that spot so long because there are families needing to get into shelter. And so if they are staying at our safe sleep lot, we help to really reduce those communication barriers and give them an opportunity to charge their phones throughout the night.
And that CAP line, that's the central access point. Kevin, correct me if I'm wrong, that number is 513-381-SAFE. Is
yes.
that right? And that's
yes.
the number people can call if they want or need help. What about during colder winter months, Rebecca? What happens then? That's certainly, it gets pretty cold around here.
Yes, it does. And so the lot will actually be open from March 1st through November 30th. So it is not year round. We are not comfortable with having families sleeping in the lot in the cold. We have talked to some partners, including some local churches, who are considering opening up their doors for families during those really cold months. So that's something that we're working on, but it is still in process. But we do know that, I mean, that's a concern.
Yeah.
And it is, in fact, a reality that family homelessness spikes during the warmer months, like mm-hmm. especially when the kids are not in school. So, Project Connect and Cincinnati Public would definitely be covering the peak demand times by being open during the warm weather months.
And last winter, Christ Church Cathedral worked with us to house families who were willing to come in and sleep in their facility during the winter.
Okay. That's who we're in discussion with. So, yes, we were kind of at a email thread with them and the CAP line. And when we had families who were outside or in their vehicles, we would actually notify them, or the CAP line would notify them, and they were opening their doors. So they've been great partners.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about family homelessness and the safe sleep lot that Cincinnati Public Schools is looking to open next year. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Kevin, how many families sought help last year because they were worried about becoming homeless or because they'd lost their homes? How many calls to this CAP line did you all get from families?
The CAP line receives over 30,000 calls a year, not all from families specifically, but, you know, the need among families really is huge. You know, families typically, if they're unsheltered, have historically tried to stay hidden, and that also means they stay disconnected from any sort of services. So in 2023 in Hamilton County, we only found 11 families sleeping in their cars. But then beginning in May of 2024, we started a new street outreach effort specifically targeted at doing a better job of finding those families. And that program is in partnership with Greater Cincinnati Behavioral Health. So we went from 11 families we located in 2023 to 232 in 2024. And those are just the ones we found. We know there are more out there. So far in 2025, we have already found 266 families that were sleeping in their cars and outside. So these families are already there. They're already out there on the street sleeping in parking lots without the security that Rebecca mentioned, without access to, you know, cell phone chargers and bathrooms. So, you know, I really commend Cincinnati Public for taking this on, because these are not families who are going to go to the parking lot because it's available. These are families that are already out there on the street, and this will give them a safe place to go. And then we queue them up to get them into a shelter like Bethany House so that we can try to minimize how much time they're spending in those situations. But getting people sort of on the grid for services is kind of the first step to getting them out of homelessness.
Peg, why are families scared? Why are they reluctant to reach out? I mean, is there a concern on the part of parents, especially that if they admit they're sleeping in the car with their kids, maybe Child Protective Services will be called and their kids will be taken from them?
That certainly is one of their concerns. Of all the families who call the central access point for help, only about 15% can actually get help right now. Mm. And that's in either, if I'm right, Kevin, our prevention program. So they're currently not yet homeless, or people who are already homeless and need to come into shelter. And of course, we try to prioritize the people that are most vulnerable in their situation, which people on the street would be. They also hide because of safety concerns that Rebecca mentioned. And so the fact that the school district's willing to step up and do this will be a big help. I know one family that just moved out of our shelter, of the 275 we served last year. They had been on the street for 2 months before they got into shelter, and now they're in permanent housing.
I think if I could just mention something that Kevin and Peg just alluded to, is the prioritization for getting into shelter. So as Kevin mentioned, right now, Greater Cincinnati Behavioral does have to connect with a family to verify that they are actually, you know, in a homeless situation in order to get on the waiting list for shelter. So one of the benefits of the Safe Sleep Lot is that we will be one of their first stops in the morning. And so all of those families will be verified very quickly and placed on a priority, you know, waiting list for shelter. And so I think that this partnership will help to reduce some of the time that it takes to get into shelter.
I mean, homeless people in general who are homeless, not just families, they're three times as likely to die if they're sleeping outside versus if they're a resident of a homeless shelter. So it's absolutely critical that we get people off the street as quickly as we can.
Peg, you mentioned that a fairly small percentage of people who call the CAP line who seek help, I think you said it's 15% or less of those families get help. Why is that? Is there just not enough room in shelters? Why aren't people, more of those families, getting the help that they're looking for?
There are three organizations that serve families. So these are, when we say families, parents with minor age children with them. For two of those organizations, their capacity severely reduced during COVID, and they are just now coming back to full capacity. So we do hope during the rest of this year, and then, of course, going into next year, that we will see that 15% increase because their capacity has returned. And I'm speaking of Found House and the YWCA. The other reason, and probably the biggest reason, is our length of stay increased enormously starting in 2021 because there is not enough affordable housing stock for our families to move into. If our we will help a family get out of the shelter and pay that first month's rent and security deposit to get back into permanent housing as quickly as possible. But if they don't, if they aren't earning enough for that second month rent, we won't move them out until we can find a place that they can afford long term. And that's why our programs work. But 90% of the people we serve are still housed when we look 2 and 3 years out. Mm. So we need more housing stock. And as I've come to say in the last few months, having housing with rents that's affordable is really the best homelessness prevention that we could have in our community.
And it really is an affordable housing issue. Yeah. And even if the lengths of stay in the family shelters were not getting longer, and therefore making it more difficult for people to get in. Shelters don't magically have more capacity when homelessness increases, and homelessness is increasing because of the affordable housing issue. Exactly. So by way of example, in 2023, 18% of our population in Hamilton County spent part of the year unsheltered, at least part of the year. In 2024, it went up to 28%. And so far in 2025, it's 36%.
You're saying 36% of all people
who are homeless are unsheltered for at least part of the year. And that has gone up from 18%, it's doubled from 18% to 36% just in 2 years. Mm. And that is because homelessness is on the rise and shelters don't magically have more beds. And therefore, the result is more people on the street, which is why, again, the need for something like what Project Connect and Cincinnati Public Schools are proposing to do.
And if I could, and we're working really hard to maintain the capacity we have, all three family housing partnership organizations, because at the same time, government funding and other shelter-specific funding has decreased.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that, but I do want to, we have a call from Lauren. Hey, Lauren, thanks for your call. What's your question?
Thanks, Lucy. And I just want to say thanks to Kevin and Rebecca and just everyone working on the systemic problems behind homelessness. I mean, I'm just really grateful as an individual, and it makes you grateful for your own shelter. You talked about the need for more affordable housing, and I know the city's working on that. But my question for Kevin and Rebecca is, what other kind of public-private partnerships are you thinking about or would be helpful to support the children and families you're working with, right? You're triaging now, but like is there a longer term strategy on this as well?
Thanks, Lauren.
Well, I would say that we look at the Safe Sleep Lot as a bridge. As a school district, we definitely can't fix the systemic issues that are, you know, causing this increase in homelessness, but we recognize it. And so I think that, you know, working closely with Strategies to End Homelessness and the Family Shelter Network, the Safe Sleep parking lot is where our families start. We can then put them into hotel. We consider this our emergency housing program for up to 6 nights now, but we are expanding that capacity through a partnership with Strategies to End Homelessness and CareSource, where our families who are receiving CareSource are going to be able to stay in a hotel for up to 2 weeks. And we're really hoping that we can get our families into shelter during that time. Oftentimes that stay in a hotel helps families to stabilize long enough to either find somebody else to stay with, or they may have to return to the lot if they don't get into shelter. But once they get into shelter, they can access these housing programs. And so we do look at that as somewhat of a long-term solution. It is a continuum. And so this is just the first part of that continuum. And as we mentioned, we are looking at local organizations who may be willing to house or open up their doors in the colder months for families to come in at night to sleep, because we know we don't really have an answer to that right now.
I think sort of a theme to this whole topic is we are never going to end homelessness by doing the same old, same old. Like, we have to try new things. So the caller asked about partnerships. You know, the city of Cincinnati is funding a new project that we're working on with Bethany House and other organizations, where we're using predictive data analytics to identify families who are at risk of losing their housing and to intervene before they lose that housing. That project is coming in. It is costing less than 10% as much to help families at the point when they're about to get an eviction notice, less than 10% of the cost of what it is to help them after they're literally homeless. So that is something that is new, and we're still sort of ironing out the wrinkles. But the city of Cincinnati is the one that's funding that project. And I think those are the kind of innovative new ideas that are going to lead to us not having families on the street anymore.
We've got to take a quick break. We'll continue our conversation after that. Later in the program, a story of imprisonment and sanctuary told through art. This is Cincinnati Edition. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about family homelessness and the safe sleep lot that Cincinnati Public Schools plans to open next year. My guests are Project Connect Program Manager Rebecca Beach, Bethany House Services CEO Peg Durkers, and Strategies to End Homelessness CEO Kevin Finn. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Kevin, I know local homeless shelter providers rely on federal funding. There are other programs that rely on federal funding. What changes is the federal government considering when it comes to funding, and what kind of impact could that mean for local families?
You know, the sort of brief way I would summarize it is everything that's already been discussed about families being on the street and length of stay getting longer at shelters like Bethany House, that is with significant federal government investment in housing post-homelessness, like significant amount of money available to help people exit homelessness.
Kind of subsidize their rent.
Right. What we are expecting is that the federal government is going to be reducing the capacity in those programs to about a third of what it is now to fund permanent housing. So that those funds, we currently spend 88% of those dollars on permanent housing. It'll be capped at 30% is what we're anticipating. So what that means is it'll be that much more difficult to get families out of their cars and into housing. It'll be that much more difficult to get families out of shelter and into housing, because the resources available to do that post-homelessness could be about to be reduced to a third of what they currently are.
What does that mean in terms of the numbers of people that could affect?
When I last looked, we had about 650 families that were in those housing programs. So if you cut that by two-thirds, you're looking at just over 200 or so that would remain. So that's 400 families that are formerly homeless, currently in housing, who would lose their rental subsidy. And to be clear, this is separate from the Section 8 program, which has also been proposed to receive significant cuts. These are just programs that are specifically for homeless people.
So what does that mean in your experience, Rebecca or Peg? Once people, if they lose those subsidies, does that mean they become homeless again?
Yeah, so we often see families who have been in these programs sustain housing while they're in the programs, especially rapid rehousing and permanent supportive housing. But when those programs run out, we see them again and again. And so I'm just thinking of a family we've been working with, and there was a lapse between her rapid rehousing and entering into permanent supportive housing. And we collected donations and did everything we could to keep her in her apartment just for 2 months while awaiting the permanent supportive housing program, which she has now gotten into. But if that was not available to her, she would have returned to her vehicle. When we met this family, they were sleeping in a storage unit, and we did work together to get her into housing and into rapid rehousing and now permanent supportive housing. But that's that is how this family has sustained housing, and that's a story for many of our families. So we would probably see all of those
and these
400 families return to homeless situations.
These things are happening with the current capacity, which would be cut to a third of what it currently is.
Peg, before the show, you told me that Bethany House is working on something to try to add to rental units. Could you kind of explain briefly what you all are trying to do to help ease this problem?
Bethany House has a full continuum of solutions for people who are at risk or already homeless, and we want to continue to respond to the community need in that way. So we are going to try to do our part to add to the housing stock in our community, and we will be working with public and private funders to build 50 rental units that we will keep the rent affordable to people earning less than $50,000 a year, and part of those units for people earning $30,000 or less a year. That is, there are only 71 homes for every 100 people at those income levels looking. And so our community needs to build.
That sounds like a big job. I mean, that would take a lot of land. Are you having any trouble finding a spot for something like that?
We need about 2 acres because this will be family housing, all 2 and 3 bedroom units, which is a niche for us. It's a little unusual in terms of the affordable housing that's being developed, and we'd hope to have a playground in that to support the kids.
Yeah. Kevin, is that the answer? I mean, to deal with this problem, and I know we don't have much time left, but is more housing the answer?
More housing is the answer, but it's different types. So it's great. We need to build more housing like Peg was talking about. We also, you know, most people who become homeless had housing before. So we need to do a better job of keeping people in housing they already have. If any of your listeners own rental property and they were interested in renting to people exiting homelessness, they could go to rentconnect.org to learn more about programs for landlords.
Okay.
We did a focused group with our families at the Bethany House last year, and we did this in collaboration with the City of Cincinnati, and we realized that if a lot of those parents had known their rights as renters, they would not have lost housing. And so I agree with Kevin in that eviction prevention is really important, and helping families to sustain their housing requires that they have some education in terms of their rights. And I know that this is something that the city, in particular, Mika Owens, is working on at the moment.
Yeah. So much more we could talk about here, but we are hitting up against our time and against the clock. I have been talking with Project Connect Program Manager Rebecca Beach, Bethany House Services CEO Peg Durkers, and Strategies to End Homelessness CEO Kevin Finn. You can find a link to our original story about the Safe Sleep Plot on WVXU.org. Thank you all so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Up next, a story of imprisonment and sanctuary told through art. You'll want to hear this interview. This is Cincinnati Edition.